We're in the Ramban, Drashat Torah Hashem Tmima, page Kuf Samach in the Musad Rav Kook edition. Ve'od, he's been explaining the different forms of information that we gain from the Torah. He says, furthermore, Yesh Yidya L'Chachamim B'Tanugan Shemot, the sages, through the Torah, they know the pleasures that await one's soul, Acharei Mot, after he passes away, B'Gan Eden, in the Garden of Eden. Miparshat, how do we know this? From the parasha in the Torah that describes Vayita Hashem Elokim Gan Beeden Mikedem, God planted a garden in Eden in the east. Ve'emet ki hagan hazeh natua u'baharetz. In truth, this garden is planted on planet Earth. V'utachat kav hashvaya, and it's under the he calls it the line of equation, which might be the equator, and he could be is referring to the equator.
Kamosh is
Gan Eden, yeah. The thing we have to ask ourselves is that the Ramban said two things here. If we take note, he said things here that seem to be contradictory. On the one hand, he said it's a place where the neshama gets pleasure after death. On the other hand, he says, it's a place on planet Earth. The neshama needs a physical place? What's going on here? So let's read, and maybe we'll get a better understanding. V'utachat kav ha'shvaya k'mo she'ezkir Rav Avraham ben Ezra. Like the Ibn Ezra says, that that's where it's located. V'chen b'yeru ha'ivanim ken b'sifrei avot ha'kadmonim. And this is how the Greeks explained in their ancient works of medicine. And the rivers that the Torah enumerates, that really proves that's where it's located. Shamal Baim, because the Pasuk says in describing the Garden of Eden, it says, Hu olech kidmat ashur. That river near the Garden of Eden went to the east of the Assyrian Empire. V'razal modim bekach, and our sages admit that is so. Ki omrim ki perat hu asovev eretz Yisrael. Our sages say the river of Perat, that's the river that surrounds Israel, and the river Perat is the river that's described by the Garden of Eden. V'amru b'ktubot, and the Gemara in Ksubos, in describing the location of the Garden of Eden, the Gemara says, Ashur ze salik, umi havav chulu, tzrich iyun midivrem. So he says, really, we have to take good note as to what the Gemara over there means to say. V'omrim, and our sages say, Ki Fishon, the river that's described over there by the Garden of Eden, the river of Pishon, Hu Yom Mitzrayim, that's the Nile of Egypt, Shehu Gadol, that is great, Milashon Ufashu Pirashav. Like the verse says, that his horsemen will be great. They'll be, Ve'af al pi Shrabi Avraham Yeshiv, Ki Yom Mitzrayim Yotze Mehar Alvana, and even though the Ibn Ezra says, that the Nile really emanates from the mountain of, that's called the mountain of Livana, the mountain of the moon, or the mountain of Livona, whatever it's supposed to be. V'araya gidulo b'sof yemei ha'kaitz, and the proof that is the source of the Nile is that at the end of the spring, the end of the summer, the Nile becomes fuller. Einat tshuva. That's not a proof, says the Ramban. Ki harbe narot ma'anot yotzim nimshachim alach bet gimel yamim. There are many rivers that they emanate from a distance and they travel 2 or 3 days and nichmasim tacht haaretz, and then they go underground. Volchim tachteh ma'alach yamim, and they go a distance underground. Vechosrim v'novim, and then they come out. V'idmu shesham novim, and it seems like that's their source, whereas really that's not their source. V'en zetema ki ma'anot kulam mitamtzit lachut harim, and that's not something to wonder about, because all the rivers really stem from the wetness of the mountains. I mean, the rivers really start at the mountains. Umkol makom emetu. Nonetheless, it's true shegan eden aniskal bapasuk baaretzu, that the Garden of Eden that's mentioned in the verse, that's on earth. V'davar baruch hu shen nanshamat hanug betenim v'rimonim v'rchitzat hanaharot. But what's clear, says the Ramban, is that our soul does not derive pleasure from dates, from figs and pomegranates, and washing itself in the rivers. Ela shesidrei gan eden tzurot lesidrei arvut. But the order, the way the Garden of Eden is described, is really a correspondence to the order of pleasure that's there. It's a correspondence. It doesn't mean it's literally, you have over there beautiful trees and you could sit there and pick fruits and pop grapes into your mouth. That's not the idea. The description is a correspondence. Sheshem Gan Eden Hanshamot, Shesham Gan Eden Hanshamot, that over there is the Garden of Eden for the souls. Umisham Italot Litzor Chaim. From there they go up to the place where they're so to speak, wrapped in life. They're encased in life. So the Rambam says, really, I have to elaborate and to make known a little bit. But I have to elaborate and explain, only I don't know that much. When it comes to the Garden of Eden, I don't know enough, but I'll try to explain as best as I could. But nonetheless, the verses admit to this. And our sages derive from different allusions in the verses that there are all kinds of pleasures for the neshama, for the soul. She'oto agmul hu anikra gan eden. That payback for the soul, that's what's called gan eden. Now notice, we're entering a new realm of discussion. What is olam haba? What is gan eden? Tchiyat hametim? This is a question that people ask often. So we learned Maimonides' opinion in the introduction to the 10th chapter of Sanhedrin. And the Ramban is taking us through his opinion here, in passing. And the Ramban begins, he says one point. He already gave us a very important clue. He gave us one word. He said, gmul, payback. Meaning, the Garden of Eden, he says, is a place of payback for the neshama. Ve'inonika olam haba. And the Garden of Eden is not what's called the world to come. Ela kedat haravzal. But rather, it's like the rabbi said, which is probably a reference to the Rambam. The Ramban, when he says harav, he's referring to the Rambam. And the Rambam discerns between olam haba and gan eden. So the Rambam says olam haba is a place where the souls go after the death of the body down here. That's a place where the souls stay after death. Yeah? Okay. V'kvar be'alti zeh b'rayot pruot. And I've already explained this with clear proofs. V'chen yodin mipasuk la'tachev ha'mitapechet. So do we know this concept from the verse that says that there is a sword that goes around and around, and that's a sword that protects the entrance to the Garden of Eden. Inyan din geinom. So from here we know this concept. What does it mean there's the sword that turns around? So here we have this concept of geinom. V'ishtalchut neshamot achotim al yedei malachei chabala, and the souls that have sinned get sent to angels of that do damage. So he says this is, he's starting to give us clues. He's in Chazal, there's a concept, Megale tefach umchase tefachayim. He reveals hands with, and he covers two hands with. So he's covering up more than he's revealing, but he's giving us a little bit of insight. He's saying that Gan Eden is a place of payback. It's a place where the neshama enjoys, and that's not olam haba. But it is a place of payback. And there's a place of payback for the sins, and that's called Geinam. V'Rabbeinu Shrira katav b'tshuvat she'ila u'v'lishon hazeh. Rav Shrira Gon wrote an answer to a question, and he wrote the following. Masru chachamim echad l'chavero hakarat panim v'sidrei sirtutim. The rabbis passed on tradition, the recognition of faces, and the way that we engrave things. Shemikzatan amurin b'seder parsha zeh sefer toldot ha'adam. That some of it is said in the parsha that the Torah says, "Zeh sefer todot Adam." This is the book of what happens to man. Umiktzatan b'seder parsha, and some of them are through the explanation of the Torah there. Shelacharav, afterwards it says, "Zachon kevav Abraham." God created mankind, male and female. So the Torah says, this is the book that describes the order of man. God created man, male and female. And then it goes on to explain. Upiresh Hagaon. So Rav Shir Hagaon explained, Shachachamim ayu moslim hekarot halalu ze laze. That the recognition, understanding what the verses are alluding to, that recognition was passed on tradition. Mipnei she'en moslim maseh merkavah b'sitrei Torah, because we don't pass on tradition the order of God's chariot or the hidden things of the Torah, אלא למי שרואים בו סימנים שרואי לכך. Only to someone we see signs that he's fit to get this tradition. כמו שאמרו רזן, like our sages said, אין מוסרים ראשי פרקים, even the, just the heads of the chapters, the names of the chapters, the beginnings, you don't enumerate, you don't elaborate, but the beginnings of the understanding, you don't pass on, אלא לאב בית דין, to anyone but the person who's the head of the court, והוא שליבו דואג בקרבו, and provided that he's not only the head of the court, but deep down inside he's got a heart that worries, he's not proud, but rather he's constantly working to become a better person. V'amru, our sages said, in Muslim Sitrei Torah, we don't pass on the secrets of the Torah, ele le'yoetz, but to someone who can give advice, v'chacham, someone who's wise, v'chacham charashim unvon lachash, someone who understands in building and understands the secrets. So we don't pass on the tradition. The rabbis would pass one to the other the secrets of the understanding of what's really going on here. Now, let me elaborate a little bit. Rav Pesach Zatzal always used to tell us that when we read Midrashim, when we read the stories, so people think Zohar is Kabbalah. You want to know what Kabbalah is? You want to know the secrets of the Torah? It's in the Zohar. So Rav Pesach always used to say, all Midrash is Kabbalah. Every story in the Gemara is Kabbalah. But the rabbis, when they wanted to pass on the tradition of the secrets of the Torah, they'd encase them in fantastic stories. To the common folk who came to the speech, so they got inspired, they heard a fantastic story. The rabbis who were sitting at the speech, they knew the code words. They knew how to understand what was behind the stories. And he said that he has on tradition that all the stories in Midrashim are working on explaining one point in our tradition. All the stories are there, all the Midrashim and the secrets of the Torah are there to explain and pass on the tradition of how God pays back a person for what he's done. Understanding Olam Abba, Gan Eden, Tzadik V'ra Lo, Rasha V'Tov Lo, that's all the same concept. The way God runs the world, understanding God's running of the world, meaning understanding the questions one is going to have in his emunah, because how come we see the righteous here suffering? How come we see the wicked succeeding? What is the ultimate payback? It's all the same question. So he said, all the midrashim are really explaining the secrets of understanding the answer to this question, how all of this works. So it's no wonder that the Ramban is telling us now, and he's quoting Rav Shri Ragon, that these concepts of what is Gan Eden, Olam Abba, how does all of this work? This was passed on tradition between the rabbis. And they said, oh, you want to know where it's hidden? This is where it's hidden in the Torah. When the Torah starts describing how did God create mankind? After the creation, after Adam and Chava are already in the Garden of Eden. So the Pasuk says, Zeh sefer toldot Adam, biyom bera lokim ta Adam, zachaun kiva bara otam. When God created them, created them male and female, and then the pasuk seemingly starts from scratch, from the creation of man. So that those psukim over there are explaining to us much more than the creation of man. They're explaining to us the whole essence of man and how God is really running the show down here. But you got to know how to understand those psukim. So the Ramban says, I myself don't have the greatest tradition that I could explain a lot, but a little bit I could explain. So he's quoting a little bit, and he's saying you have to understand that we don't pass on this tradition to anyone. This is the depths of our tradition. This is the secrets of the Torah to understand how God runs the world. Rabbi Ishmael, who shekibez starim halalu, and Rabbi Ishmael, he got these secrets. Vekarule Rabbi Ishmael de haichalot veakarat panim. They called him Rabbi Ishmael of the special rooms, the haichalot, and understanding the faces. V'inyan yediyah zu, and this concept of this knowledge, ramuz b'talmud, is alluded to in the Talmud, the Amar Masecht Brachot. The Talmud says in Tractate Brachos, Haro'e Uchlusei Yisrael. He who sees the masses of the Jewish people, Omer, what does he say? Baruch Chacham Harazim. Blessed is the one who is wise of the secrets. So Rashi explains what's that blessing. That blessing is, blessed is the one who understands what's in each one's heart. He knows our secrets. The Ramban says, "Lefi she'en pirtotehen partzufehen shavot ve'lo deotehen shavot." The Gemara concludes, because each one is different and each one's face is different. So he's saying, this is a reference, when we say their faces are different, that's a reference to the secrets of the Torah. Ve'item Rabbi Ploni v'Rabbi Ploni ashkechul Rabbi Ploni amar le'bahadi dechazinach ve'achtin antarti. The Gemara over there continues and says that two rabbis met a third rabbi, and he said, you know, when I see you, I make two blessings. One, shechalak mechokhmato l'chayav, that God gave of his wisdom to those that fear him, and two, mechaye ametim, he who gives life, or our Gemara says, shechiyonu, shayach hacham, because he was a great sage. V'lachar yud bet chodesh, and it hadn't been 12 months since he saw them. Amar lu chakimtu kulihai, he told him, oh, you know so much, yav beinayu nach nafshayu. They looked at him and he dropped dead. What's going on here? One rabbi says, I have to make so many blessings when I see you guys. They turn back to him and they say, oh, you're so smart. They give him a look and he drops dead. That's the Gemara. That's the story. You read the Gemara, what's going on here? Why did he drop dead? What did he do wrong? What's he making the blessing? Yeah, that's what the Gemara says. Says he said, I see you, I see such great sages, I can make the blessings like I've seen the masses of Israel, I can make great blessings on the mere fact that I've seen you. They look at him and they say, oh, you know so much? And he drops dead. What's the Gemara telling us? That's the story in the Gemara.
Which said that this Brakot fell dead?
Yeah.
Maybe that's he had all in his life and now he can die.
V'zeh inyan nifla ve'amok. So the Ramban says this is really an amazing and deep concept. En tagmul le'evra elakachu perush ha'inyan hazeh. So he says, really, there isn't payback for anger, but here's what we have to explain, what's happened here. Ki hada'at tluya ba'partzuf. One's da'at, one's knowledge, is contingent on one's face. Kechokhmato shel Rabbi Ismail, like the wisdom of Rabbi Ishmael. Ve'ab chachmei ha'goyim mekiru be'em me'at mizar min ha'tevim ha'gasim k'minagam. And even the wise men of the nations also understand a little bit of this deep wisdom, the wisdom of understanding one's face, which corresponds to the wisdom of understanding completely what's inside a person. Like we find that whenever we have a form of wisdom, they get part of it, they catch on to. The Kabbalat Razan, and our tradition is, ki lo nivru b'shinui partzufim ela b'shishim ribo. That there were, you have 600,000 people, and that's the number of different faces that exist in the world. Naminyan hazeh kolel kol hadot, and 600,000 is what encompasses all forms of knowledge. V'lachen nitna Torah b'minyan hazeh. That's why when the Torah was given, it was given to this number, 600,000. V'amru lo haya kedai lekabel haTorah ela kedei shetehein mitkabelet bechol hadot. And our sages say what the Torah was given in a fashion that it would be accepted on every form of intellect. And different people have different opinions and different, the human factor, we all think slightly different than one another. No two people think exactly alike. The Torah was given to correspond, to resonate with each person's thinking. And being that the Creator, blessed be He, yodea da'atan shel briot, He knows our thoughts, ve'yitzrei machshevot hakol, and the desires and the thoughts of all, mevachin be'ochlusiyah chacham arazim. So when we see a mass, when we see 600,000 people amassed together, we make a blessing. Blessed is the one who's so smart that he knows the secrets. You have all these people, and God knows what's going on in each of them. V'yesh b'yichidim shel bnei adam, and there are individuals, yichid klali. There are individuals that are considered an individual that's a representation of the masses. He himself, even though he's himself, he's not himself. He's a representation of everyone. Yodeo mevin kol hachochmot, he knows, he understands all forms of wisdom, v'chalul b'chol hadot, and he encompasses all thoughts. Meaning you have individuals who can be encompassing. Each of us is usually limited to our way of thinking. You have people who can really encompass everyone's thinking. Now that's unusual. You have maybe one in a generation, or one in a century, or maybe not even that. K'mosh katu b'Yoshua bin Nun. That's what it says about Yoshua. He was so exceptional. Asheruach bo, he had God's spirit in him, sheyachol alech keneged ruach zu, that he could align himself with this godliness, the ability to be able to see things through everyone's eyes. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu prayed. He said, God, let them have a leader who can understand each and every one. What does it mean to understand each and every one? It means that you can resonate with each one. Where you could align yourself with each one. You could understand their way of thinking. Anyone who has this knowledge, and he understands the secrets, he understands the inner workings of the people he meets with, he is like a prophet. The philosophers, when they see someone who attains these levels, they call him kihun. I don't know what that word means in Arabic, but okay. Yeah, it's Arabic. He says over here that it means someone who can see into the future. So this person who can align himself with 600,000 people, he's a person that can really talk to each person on his level and understand each person. He really is similar to 600,000 people. Sheken yichlelu bo kol ha'dot ve'agun lechol ha'chokhmot, because he encompasses all thought and he's fitting for all wisdom. Lefichach ho'il levrech alav chacham arzim. So when you see a person like that, it's fitting to make a blessing on him, just like if you'd see 600,000 people. And this wise man who met this rabbi who met his friends, he sees his friend and he sees he's attained that level. So when he sees them, he says, wow, you guys have made it to that level. I can make the blessing Chacham Arazim on you, even though I don't have 600,000 people here, but you, I see you've made it to that level. So that's why they told him, Chakimut kuli hai, you're so smart that you could see that we've made it to that level. Liot yodem mishnatosh Rabbi Yishmael detzurat panim, you know the tradition of Rabbi Yishmael, who could just look at a person and see what level he's on. You've made it to that level. Yavu beinav v'nach nafshai. They took a look at him and he dropped dead. Lefi shechalsha da'atam alav. Because when he said that to them, he was complimenting them. But in complimenting them, they realized how much greater he was than them. So they felt bad. Because they, as high as that reached, they realized they hadn't reached his level. He just walks up to them and he sees where they're holding. So they reached a level that's similar to prophecy. And he just told them, oh, you've made it. How does he know? By taking a look at them. By taking a look at them, so he's much greater than they are. So when they looked at him, they looked at him like with an ayin hara. They looked at him like, so really, as much as we've attained, you're still way ahead of us. That ayin hara caused him to die. So this is where we'll have to pick up next time. Okay, we'll read it. So it's worth knowing, because guys ask this sometimes. That tradition of knowing the engravings, what was he referring to? Shamar ba'pasuk zachon kevah bra'am. The verse says they were created male and female. That's the wisdom that our sages say. There's a wisdom in knowing how to read the palm of the hand and the lines, what we call engravings, but really it's the lines on the hand. Says, till now people use this. There are people who deal in it. And the Gemara says, there's truth to it. There is a way to know things from the palm of the hand. Now, that doesn't mean that the average person who reads your palm knows anything.
Yeah, I said that it was with my friend. And he was so depressed because he said that he will live only until 25 or 30 years. But he is now living in... He was so depressed so much that he believes in this. Now he is working in American University.
I wouldn't believe it. I wouldn't believe it, because even though the wisdom existed once, I don't know if there's anyone that still has a tradition.
Yeah, but also it's scientific proof. In genetics they use, because it's genetically, it's a go by genes, this, and it's like markers. We can look, but we can see by the dermatoglyphs. These dermatoglyphs is this patterns of this all this folds of this skin. It's some connection. It can indicate some diseases or some genetical traits.
Wow, okay.
Yes, it's correlation. We have correlation.
So, interesting. וכל אלו הדברים וחיוצא בהם חוכמות ישנות אמיתיות הן, all these things and things like them are really ancient wisdoms, ומקובלות ביד מקבלי התורה, and those who have tradition in Torah, those who really have Kabbalah tradition, so then they know these secrets. וכשעבדנו, עבדו החוכמות עמנו. And when we were lost, so then these wisdoms were lost with us. When we were persecuted and wiped out, so these wisdoms were lost with us. ונשאר זכרם בשיבוש ביד מועטים. And the little bit that remains is inaccurate. And there are few that have a little bit of it. ובאו פילוסופים מחישום. So the philosophers come along and say it's all lies. So the Ramban says they're right. It's not accurate anymore. The palm readers are going to look at your hand. And they might have a tradition, but the Ramban says we had an accurate tradition. We used to be able to read accurately into the palm of the hand, but we don't have this tradition anymore. So the little bit that's left is very inaccurate. So when you look at it, you could say it's nonsense. Yes, you could, says the Ramban, because we've lost the exact tradition. V'kvar haya ish yevani, and there was already a Greek, kibel mechasidei almanya chochmazu. He got from the pious people of Almania this wisdom. And he used to look at a person's face and he could say amazing things, and this was to the eyes of the nations. His name was Rabbi Shabtai the Greek. Maybe this is Rabbi Shabtai the wise man who the Tosfos quoted. Bottom line, says the Ramban, the wise people know that the Torah alludes to all the different things in nature. ומקבלת התורה למד שלמה, and Shlomo learned from the tradition of the Torah, שכתוב וידבר על העצים. Shlomo could talk and figure out which trees could be planted where, and which trees are going to grow well, and which trees are going to grow poorly, and where on the earth you should plant it. How do you know all this? Through the Torah. ואילו היו נודעים טבעים שקורינה רופאים ראשונים שניים שלישים, ואיליו היו נודעים טבעים, and he knew the different things in nature, שקורינה רופאים ראשונים שניים שלישיים והסגולות שבהם, that the doctors call them, that this is the first form of wisdom, secondary, third. So the Ramban is looking at nature and he's saying nature is really hidden in the Torah. If you want to understand nature deep in the Torah, you could find it. Last week, this past a week ago Thursday, someone asked this question. Is all forms of nature in the Torah? And we said yes. And now we're meriting to learn it in the Ramban. The Ramban says that all forms of nature are there, the deep understanding of how it works. But we don't know how to find it in the Torah. It's somewhere there, we just don't know where. והסגולות שבהם, ולא כאשר עושים אלו החוקרים שתואמים ואומרים. So all these things are hidden in the Torah, but it's not like the researchers do. They taste, and then they say, טעמתי בו מעט מרירות. They say, it's a little bit bitter. Yeah, you tasted it, so you know it's a little bit bitter. Oh, ריח כמו דבר מתוק. Oh, it smells sweet. וכיוצא בדברים אלו, or things like that. Because there you're experimenting, so you know. שהן מורות על מיעוט בירור בחוכמות. That points to the fact that there's less understanding in the wisdom. אלא כמו שאמר שלמה המלך עליו השלום, בספר הנקרא חוכמת הרבתא דשלמה, but rather it's like King Solomon wrote in this work that's called The Great Wisdom of Solomon, ששם כתב, over there King Solomon wrote, והוא דייב עידתא, דלא דגלותא, למידי חנקם עלמא, ועובדיין דמזלתא. And he who gives knowledge. Okay, let's continue reading. Is he going to translate it? Okay, so we'll translate it as we read. V'hu d'yayv idata d'lo d'galuta l'meida. He gives knowledge that's not revealed to know. Heichan kamal ma, where is the world established? V'uvdeyon d'mazalta, and how the different mazalot work, how the zodiac works. Shuraya v'shulmayo umtziaton d'zmane, the different aspects of time. Shulchaf v'dezanvuta v'deheichanav d'zimne riaton d'shmaya v'kaviyon d'kochvei, He tells us the spillings of the tail and how the times function and how the constellations move in the heavens and where the stars are set. The Mishnah of the animals and the anger of the wild animals. Uzehon deruche, the brazenness of the winds, umachshavaton debnei nasha, and the thoughts of men, gunze din tzivta, the hidden things that are erect, vechelehon deikare. Yeah, well, it's complicated Aramaic. Yeah, and the strengths of the foundations, kol meidam, everything dekasi that's covered, vekol meidam degali, and everything that's revealed, yadit he knows. Umachshavaton debnei nasha, and the thoughts of mankind. Inu chokma tzurat apanim, she is eino tzurat apanim. When he says that God knows that the wisdom of man, that's not the wisdom of knowing the face, recognizing the face. Elainyan, but rather this is the concept nizkal bepikei haichalot she omer sham. It's mentioned in the chapters of haichalot. We have this medrash haichalot or haichalot that it says over there. Ganav adam yodeh umakir bo. If a person steals, he knows. He recognizes. Ratzach adam yodeh bo umakir bo. If a person murdered, he knows. He recognizes. Na'af adam yodeh umakir bo. If a person committed adultery, he knows. He recognizes. Ulefichach amhu. And therefore we say, Bikesh Shlomo ladun b'lo edim. Shlomo wanted to judge without witnesses. A person would walk in, and he could look at him and say, you stole. Yatzta bat kol v'amra. A heavenly voice came out and said, "V'chatuv yosher divrei emet, al pi shnayim edim." What I've written is straight, the words of truth. God says in the Torah, you judge based on two witnesses. Don't use your wisdom, Shlomo. Shlomo was able to figure things out without it. We read stories about it, how three partners, one stole from the other one. Shlomo Melech sat and listened. No one knew who the thief was. He told them a story. He asked them, what do you guys think about the story? Each one gave his comments, and Shlomo Amalek proved from their comments who the thief was. Shlomo could figure things out without witnesses. He could outsmart the people. But at the end of the day, the Torah says you don't judge based upon your wisdom. You need two witnesses. Mekol makom, nonetheless, ani tameh. The Ramban says, I am in wonderment. So what did the Ramban tell us until here? The Ramban told us, what do we see today? He says that our tradition, the rabbis knew the pleasures of Gan Eden. That there is this concept of pleasure in this Garden of Eden. Eden means Idun, a garden of pleasure for the soul. And the physical terms that Chazal use are really an allusion to the spiritual. And then he went on to describe that there is a Gehenim, there is a place of payback. And then he went on to quote Rav Shri Raigon, who told us that we had on tradition the understanding of faces and the engravings in one's hand, the folds in the palm of the hand. And he says, really, the Torah alludes to all of this. And he quotes the story that there was Rabbi Ishmael who could see, he had the wisdom that encompassed 600,000 people. He said, the 600,000 people is the encompassing of potential attitudes, thoughts, natures that people can have. That's what we mean when we say 600,000 is the encompassing of humanity. That you see 600,000 people, you can make the blessing. God knows the secrets in man's hearts. That's because you've seen all the different types of people when you have 600,000 in front of you. So he quoted the story in Brachos that one rabbi saw the other rabbis. He said, oh, you guys are so smart. You encompass all 600,000. And they felt bad. They realized that he was even smarter than them, that he just took a look at them and he knew they had this wisdom, and that feeling that he caused them to feel bad ultimately caused his untimely demise. Then he went on to say that really we had all these wisdoms on tradition, being able to figure out what a person is from his facial features, but we lost this tradition. Being able to read the palm of the hand, but we lost the tradition. And what's left is a little bit which is inaccurate. So some people have a little bit of the tradition, but it's inaccurate, he said. And really all the different forms of knowledge that King Solomon had, all the knowledge of nature, really is hidden in the Torah. You just have to know how to figure it out, how to get it out of the Torah. And he says, we don't know. He himself said he doesn't know. He says, a little bit I'll know, I'll tell you. But more than that, I don't know. And now he's about to conclude with a question, which is where we will have to pick up next week. Mikol makom nitamen. Nonetheless, I wonder, said the Ramban.